George Clooney's character in his new film, Michael Clayton, describes himself as a janitor. He's a high-priced New York lawyer who's paid to clean up other people's messes. Film critic David Edelstein says that Michael Clayton is an entertaining film that's also a morality tale, centering on the hero's conscience. Here's his review.
The level of secrecy in the current administration has helped create the ripest environment for paranoid conspiracy movies since the Watergate era. And the genre's mascot is surely George Clooney. Syriana put international terrorism in a Noam Chomskyite context as revenge for the West's economic exploitation. In promoting Good Night and Good Luck, Clooney drew comparisons between the Army McCarthy hearings and the present climate for dissent. Even The Good German, set in the 40s, centered on dark U.S. government machinations under the movie-ish glamour. Clooney's new film, Michael Clayton, is set in a world where multinational corporations retain high-priced lobbyists and law firms to ensure they have zero government oversight, and where the last line of defense is the conscience of the individual. It's a conversion melodrama, and in its outlines, routine, but it's sensationally well done. Clooney's Michael Clayton is an attorney who's kept in the shadows of a huge law firm, where he works as a fixer, the guy who, behind the scenes, cleans up messes for the biggest clients. After a confusing prologue with multiple lines of action and an exploding car, so you know it's all going to turn deadly, the movie flashes back 3 days. Clayton is massively in debt from a failed restaurant venture and can't afford to turn down an unsavory new assignment to muzzle his friend Arthur, one of the firm's partners. Arthur is normally an attack dog, but has gone off his meds and cracked under the strain of doing bad things for bad people, in this case, for a vast agribusiness fighting a multi-billion-dollar class action suit, charging it with knowingly marketing a carcinogenic weed killer. Tom Wilkinson plays Arthur, and while it's hard to imagine him as a Doberman in court, he's a phenomenal basket case, prodigiously twitchy. In a holding cell, after he melted down at a deposition, he explains to Clayton his commitment to a young female plaintiff.
They killed them, Michael. Those small farms, family farms. Did you meet Anna?
No.
Oh, you gotta see her. You gotta talk to her. She's a miracle, Michael. She's God's perfect little creature. And for $50 million in fees, I've spent 12% of my life destroying perfect Anna and her dead parents and her dying brother.
When was the last time you took one of these?
No. I'm not losing this. Everything is now finally significant. The world is a beautiful and radiant place. I'm not trading that for this.
If it's real, the pill won't kill it.
I have blood on my hands.
You are the senior litigating partner of one of the largest, most respected law firms in the world. You are a legend.
I'm an accomplice.
You're a manic depressive.
I am Shiva, the god of death.
Let's get out of Milwaukee. We'll talk about it.
What keeps Arthur's righteous speeches and the movie from seeming sanctimonious is that they're part gibberish and that he totes around bizarre props, like a bag with more than a dozen large baguettes. He can also reel off statutes hilariously to keep from being involuntarily committed. But the movie turns serious when the agribusiness's new chief legal counsel, played by Tilda Swinton, decides to go beyond Michael Clayton's gentle treatment of Arthur. I know people who find Swinton's character a problem in a feminist backlash way, an ambitious woman attempting to pattern herself on ruthless male bosses. But I found her fascinating. Early on, the film cuts between her anxious rehearsal before the mirror of her first presentation to company executives and the smooth presentation itself, back and forth, so that you're sensitized to the tremulousness under her crisp efficiency. You know she's human and not an automaton, which is why her moral dilemma is so shocking. The writer and director of Michael Clayton is Tony Gilroy, who wrote all three of Matt Damon's Jason Bourne films. But this is not one of those jittery motion sickness pictures that accelerate around every narrative curve. It holds to a measured beat, to the point where you feel a growing impatience, a good impatience, the kind that keeps you riveted. Maybe that's why the climax, a dialogue in which no voice is raised, is so smashingly cathartic, and why the denouement that follows, The last shot of the film is so hauntingly strange and sad. Clooney is as good as he's ever been. He uses his glamour as a mask, internalizing everything. Only a faint touch of glibness clues you in to Clayton's disgust with what he does and the people with whom he does it. The real hook of Michael Clayton is watching it dawn on him that while whistleblowing can mean death, being a cog in an infernal machine is not a design for living.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine.